You're watching a lot of volleyball, catching a lot of action and as many matches as you can, and having a fun time. As you just pointed out, it's fun to be in gyms and watching these young ladies play, isn't it?
Right. I salute the NSAA for trying to still have a season during these difficult times, and with social distancing and players wearing masks and fans wearing masks and limited attendance at games. I think they're doing everything they can to keep it as safe as they possibly can. And just from what I've seen, the players, the fans, everybody is really taking it seriously. And the attitude of the coaches that I've talked to is, we're just happy to be playing.
I guess what would make it even better was, and we talked about this last time we talked, if we had some college volleyball around here, whether it be Nebraska, UNL, the UNK, or whoever, right here in McCook Community College. We'd love to be watching our hometown team play a little college volleyball, but still moving everything to spring. As far as I know, what about UNL? I haven't heard anything. You hear football, but I guess nothing really on volleyball.
Right. It's been pretty quiet there, and, just the strength of volleyball in the state, high school and, of course, in college, and to not be playing Nebraska, Creighton, and UNO here in Omaha. But, UNK, they had a great season last year, and for them not to be playing Kearney is really difficult. And, boy, it's tough enough to be a college student these days, but to have something like that taken away from you, and just kind of that uncertainty, like you said, we haven't really heard that much about if they're going to play in the spring, if that's going to be possible or not. But I hope something can be worked out, because there's a lot of fans in this state that really want to see those college players back out there, not just volleyball, of course. But, Husker Saturdays are really strange without Nebraska playing, for sure.
No question about it. A team or two that you've debuted in your rankings, one right out here west up the road, Maywood Hay Center. The Wolves are 10-0. I went and watched them at the Hitchcock County Invite the other day, and had good wins against a tough Axtell team, not too bad, then beat Alma in the championship game. You've got the Wolves moving in there at number four.
Right. That's kind of a big jump for me, Rich. I don't usually move somebody from unranked to number four, but actually, full disclosure, I got an email from somebody, I can't even remember who it was, but it was, hey, don't sleep on that Maywood Hay Center team, because they're really solid this year. And, I kind of kept an eye on them this weekend, and they had another nice weekend. And, I thought they definitely do deserve to be in those rankings someplace. So it's just a matter of where they went. But, they definitely deserve that promotion. And I'll tell you, that top of Class D2 is really tough with Diller O'Dell and Humphrey St. Francis, and Exeter Milligan has a nice team too. But I think Maywood Hay Center belongs in that group also.
And really, you look at all your preseason-ranked teams, for the most part, are still a lot of them haven't been beaten yet and are still at the top, aren't they?
Right. I feel pretty good about that when my preseason picks are hanging in there, because, as we've talked about before, preseason, you're just kind of going on conjecture and what teams have got coming back from last season. And you don't really know a whole lot until they start playing. But it's just kind of worked out that way so far, that our top teams in Class B, C1, C2, D1, D2, none of those preseason number ones have lost yet. So they're not going to lose that rating. So we'll see what happens. It's still pretty early, but those teams that we thought were going to be pretty strong have come through for us so far.
And your overall top 10, you've got a C1 school and a Wahoo team at 5 in your overall rankings, and a couple of Class B teams at the bottom. So there is good volleyball worthy of being that overall top 10 here this week.
For sure. I catch some heat for that overall top 10, because That's a really hard one, the hardest one to rank, Rich, because a lot of times those teams don't play each other. It's just kind of your thoughts on, if they did play, who do you think would win? But like you mentioned, Wahoo, we've got them at number 5 in the top 10, and they're very good setter. Ellie Glock is the daughter of Jason Glock, who was an outstanding athlete at Wahoo basketball back in his day, and she's going to USC. So that says something about yes, it's Class C1, but look, he's going to be playing on the very big stage in college. So Wahoo definitely deserves that that mention. And the Class B teams, of course, Omaha Scuts are overall number one, and they're Class B. And we've got Elkhorn, Waverly, and North down at that bottom of the overall top ten. They're all Class B, and actually Waverly and Norris are going to play for the first time tonight. So I'm going to go cover that match down at Norris. So we'll see how that one goes. But like you said, quality volleyball from Class A right on to Class D2.
And you have the Lexington Minute Maids debuting this week. Minute Maids off to a good start. Seven out of their first eight games, matches have been wins. You got them moving in number five.
Right, right. And one of my favorite nicknames, the Minute Maid. So that's not why I ranked them, but, you know, they deserve it, 7-1. And that's not a team that you've seen among those Class B powers. But, you know, when I see that record and I look at the wild card points and I look at who teams have played and who they've beaten and maybe who they've lost to and it wasn't close and kind of a lot of factors I look at or try to look at, but... yeah, Lexington, sort of like Maywood Hay Center jumping in at number four. I jump Lexington to number five. Now we'll see if they can hold that position.
As you mentioned, you have some important matches to watch during the week, and I'm sure the invites are starting to get to be picking up big invites in the weekends. I'm sure we've already had a few to go to. Some big ones still to come here in the next couple of weeks, aren't there?
Right. For sure, one of the big ones is this weekend, the Lincoln Public Schools Classic. That one always draws a lot of ranked teams, and it's one that's kind of one of those mile posts during the season where you look at the tournament and say, okay, this team's making some really good progress, and a lot of times the team that wins that tournament will go on and make a really strong run at state. So, yeah, those invitationals on the weekend are always key, and like I said, the one in Lincoln is the big one this weekend. It's going to be kind of strange because I always go down Saturday for that, and I'm usually fighting some pretty good Husker football traffic, either going down or coming back home. But again, that won't be the case. But to be honest, I'd just as soon be fighting that traffic again, Rich.
Yeah, I think we all would, no question about it. Still seeing a lot of teams. We see a few out here in the West, but still see a lot of teams, I'm sure, in the East. Where they're playing, they're wearing masks. I take it there's a few out there, aren't there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the most part, what I've seen, most of the teams are wearing masks, at least here on the eastern end of the state. I spoke with Renee Saunders, the Omaha Scut coach, about that before the season, and she said that... you know, their players wear masks in practice. They wear them all through matches. And in Renee's thought, and I think this is a good thought, that they have too much to lose if they're out there playing without masks. So with the masks, they feel that they're controlling things a lot better. It does make it more difficult, a little bit more as far as the breathing and communication. But I think the girls have gotten used to them now, and... as Renee told me, what we do not want to have happen is if we're not wearing masks and somebody tests positive right before the state tournament, then they might have to shut the entire team down. So she thinks that if they're all wearing masks, even if somebody would test positive, then just that one player would have to shut it down and not the whole team. So in her words, we've got too much to lose. So as I said before, I think the fans and the players and the coaches, everybody's been really diligent about the masks, not just the volleyball, but at the football games I'm covered on Friday night, too. Most of the fans here on this part of the state are wearing masks in the stands, so we're just trying to do everything we can to control the spread and hopefully get to a time when we don't have to wear masks again.
I know we still have to get through the month of September and October, Mike, but any word, rumors, NSA, of when it comes state tournament time on what they're going to be allowing and not allowing? Any stuff out there, any rumors flying around?
You know, they've kept a pretty good lid on it so far, Rich. I think, you know, they're monitoring it every week. They loosen things up a little bit here in the Metro Conference. Just this week, they're allowing... I think it was four immediate family members per player were able to go to games. Now they've boosted that. I think it's up to 6. And they're allowing seniors to attend some games now. So I think it's the numbers. They wouldn't be doing that if the numbers weren't going in a favorable direction. So I'm hoping that we can kind of keep riding that positive momentum into late September, into October, and then, you know, we'll see what November holds. But I really hope that we can have some sort of a state tournament and a state tournament atmosphere to go with that state tournament, because when you limit the fans tremendously, like we saw at the Boys State Basketball Tournament, it's great to have the tournament going on, but boy, it is such an odd sight to have only maybe 100 fans on each side cheering for the team. So, as I said, hopefully the numbers will keep going in a positive direction.
Crossing fingers and toes, you bet. Mike, good to talk to you as always, sir. Thanks a million, and have a great rest of the week. We'll catch up with you down the line, okay?
Okay, Rich. Nice talking to you.